Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast on this wonderful weather day we're having here, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of them swinging, popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to follow that link over there to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, Dan and I greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you'd like to do that. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
And Dan, the new man,
Let's see, Dan. It looks like we have one final already today, and it looks like we have three other games in action. The Royals beat the Tigers 1-0. Looks like Jake Junis got the win. Matt Boyd took the loss, and Kelvin Herrera got the save there. The Red Sox have jumped out to a 1-0 lead on the Marlins. The Yankees are beating the Rays 4-2. Oh, no, wait, it just got tied up. So it's 4-4 now, but 6 there. And then the Mariners are beating the Giants 6-1. So there you go. There's our active games today. I know the Mariner-Giant game is an MLB Network game, and then the Yankee-Rays game is a Mickey Mouse Network game. So if you're out there on your regular television slipping channels or whatever, you can check those out. So we have
you forgot to announce the pregame of the day.
Oh, I wasn't looking. I don't know what is the free game today. So I haven't looked at it yet, so I didn't know what they were giving away today.
The Red Sox at the moment.
Oh, okay. So, and then, you know, the rest of the schedule here, we've got the Cubs at the Reds. They did announce the game is going to start in a rain delay. It's John Lester against Cody Reed. The White Sox are at the Blue Jays. It's Miguel Gonzalez against J.A. Happ, or Happ, how you want to pronounce it. The Phillies are at the Mets. It's Ben Lively against Matt Harvey. The Nationals are at the Braves. It's A.J. Cole against Julio Teheran. The Cardinals are at the Brewers. It's Jack Flaherty against Chase Anderson. The Orioles are at the Astros. It's Mike Wright against Justin Verlander. The Dodgers are at the Diamondbacks. It's Clayton Kershaw versus Zach Godley. Indians against the Angels is the 9 o'clock game on the Mickey Mouse Network. You get Josh Tomlin against Garrett Richards. The Rangers are at the A's. It's Cole Hamels against Kendall Graveman. And the night wraps up with the Rockies at the Padres. It's Kyle Freeland against Tyson Ross. So there you go. There's your schedule for tonight, Dan.
That's pretty good. Before we kind of touch about today, did you happen to watch the Cubs Reds game yesterday?
Yeah, you know, I saw quite a bit of it. I always miss bits and pieces of it if, you know, others come up, but I get a game.
Yeah, now I know you're not a proponent of going on MLB.com or MLB.tv and checking out the recaps, but I forgot the other pitcher's name from Cincinnati. He was just amazing yesterday. I believe his last name starts with an R. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But immediately after watching his performance, I went into both of our leagues, and the same guy in both leagues had that pitcher. So I didn't know if this guy was on the radar or if maybe he just beat me to the punch, but because I didn't check his team stats, but I was just disappointed that he was not available. But, I mean, what did you think of that pitcher? I mean, he had super control of his pitches yesterday. And he was painting those corners like, dude, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, I was quite surprised. His name is Tyler Molly, by the way. I think that's how they're pronouncing it. It could be, you know, it could be something. It's M-A-H-L-E. I was trying to figure out, and, you know, I've kind of had this issue so far really early in the season, if it's just bad Cub offense or, you know, what is kind of going on with them. But, he was fantastic, so... You know, you can't say too much about it. I mean, let me double check his numbers here. I know he struck out 7 while he was in the game. What did he do? Yeah, he went 6 innings, only gave up 1 hit. The Cubs only got 2 hits in the game, but yeah, he gave up 1 of them. He walked 2 and struck out 7. So yeah, not a bad outing for a young guy. I was trying to, do you know, was that his first start, or did he happen to get one last year? Do you know?
That one, I didn't see it. For whatever reason, internet thing where it's not letting me go on while
I'll bing him real quick here and see what we got. Yeah, no, he did make 4 starts at the end of last year. He was 1-2 with a 2.7 ERA. So covered 20 innings in those starts. Only 14 strikeouts, though, so he really upped the strikeout total against the Cubs. But I guess what I got to ask, Dan, is was it him or the Cubs that bumped that strikeout total? Because I don't know if you saw this, but the Cubs set a record for most strikeouts in the first 5 games of the season with 58. So welcome to the new wave of baseball.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. You know, with the likes of Javi, yep. Kapp, and Schwarber, I'm sure they set the record for the following.
You know, because, I mean, obviously, you know, these no longer matter, except to, you know, maybe, you know, me and Dan and Stu and, you know, some of the older people, but yeah, it's it's a little rough, you know, watching the kind of inability of guys to even put the ball in play. You know, it's like, please just hit it. Maybe anything at all.
And I believe there's at least 4 of them that were no look or no swing. So he just caught them just staring. And, like I said, though, he's going to be someone to watch this season. I think I actually put him on my watch list on fantasy just to keep an eye on him. I mean, you know, I hadn't seen pitching like that in a while. And to be able to paint those corners and get those calls, he had the right umpire for that game yesterday.
Yeah, he's been. I've seen on some of the fantasy sites that he's been the hot guy. So, we'll have to wait and see. You know, kind of how it goes. Because it is just the one start. But I chased down some numbers for you here, Dan. The Cubs' new leadoff hitter, Ian Happ, has struck out 10 times. Wilson Contreras has 8. Surprisingly, Anthony Rizzo has 6. And then Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, Jason Hayward, and Kyle Schwarber are all good for 5 strikeouts. So.
And their pitchers combined for how many of them?
the pitchers hitting, let's see what we can here. Tyler Chatwood has 1. Yu Darvish has 1. And that's it. The pitchers have only struck out twice this season.
Wow.
So, yeah, out of the 58, only two of them belong to pitchers. So, they can't start pointing fingers that way. So we'll have to be fair to Chris Bryant. He does have five go along with his five strikeouts. So, he's at least even up. The other guys' ratios aren't as good. Hop has two walks to 10 strikeouts. And then Contreras, Rizzo, and Baez each only have one walk compared to their strikeout numbers. So,
obviously it's what you said, five games into the season and we've got time. But, if this doesn't change, who do they fire next year? Is it, it comes down to hitting. So, I would assume one of the grounds crew gets fired, right?
Yeah, or the trainer. I don't know. You can kind of point fingers at with this one.
I'm just going back to last year with the fact that their hitting wasn't on point, so they fired their pitching coach.
Yeah. which is always a good move. I mean, anytime you don't hit, I believe you should probably get rid of the big coach because I'm sure it's his fault somehow or some way. But, it's just the new wave of baseball that drives me goofy, when it comes to it, because, situational hitting is just so dead. And I haven't really quite figured out why they killed it when it's a way for team to win games. It used to be important to kind of like move runners over and, do all those things to help your teammates out. And now it just seems like, we're looking for power numbers and that's it. None of the other stuff seems to matter. It's just like, I don't get this at all.
Yeah, it was interesting yesterday, or this morning, or this afternoon, watching or slash listening to the Tigers and Royals team, because I believe it was Victor Martinez who they were talking about in the booth, and, his numbers were down last year. I don't know if he was interviewed by the broadcasters or if this was, a local interview or whatever, but, they asked him what he thought the issue was last year, and he flat out said he focused too much on launching.
I saw
him drive one into the corners somewhere. He got a nice solid hit today, but I found it interesting that I think while the younger generation are going to focus on that because that's what they're trained to do, there's going to become a point where veterans, guys who've been in there long enough, a guy like Anthony Rizzo, for instance, who's going to have to start looking at, his performance and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe I am focusing too much on that stuff because I feel like he, even Chris Bryant are getting to that term in their career where they can follow their own and not really, you look for the pitching and hitting coaches for guidance, but I think at this point they've got to figure out what works best for them and not so much be focused on the analytics and, that crap.
Yeah, I heard another player mention that his improvement was due to, they asked him kind of the same question, and he had the same answer in just kind of a different way, talking about the launch angle and how he was a little too concerned about it. But, to be fair, Matt Carpenter was on the opposite end of it. He stated that he's hitting for more power because he's adjusted his launch angle. So,
I mean, when I hear that, all I hear is, so you're trying to execute more of a golf swing, or?
Yeah, that's kind of what I assume is your uppercutting, is what I'm under the impression to change your launch angle, and get it. Get the ball to be higher, because for years it was just, you swing down through the ball was what everybody was kind of taught. You know, it's like we you swing down through, and you know we're okay. That's just kind of how we do it. And yeah, and then you know just a few years ago they decided that actually having a little bit of an uppercut was better. I don't know how the strikeouts factored into that one. They just kind of started to come along with all the extra power. So, you know, just one of those things. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see how it ends up working out. But I know on some injury news, I saw that Anthony Swarzak, the Mets put him on the 10-day DL with that oblique. Probably not a big deal in a lot of fantasy leagues, but Dan in my league actually scores holds, and Swarzak is a big hold guy. If you picked up Jacoby Ellsbury late in your draft and kind of hanging on to him, it looks like he had a setback in his recovery, so he's going to take a little longer to get back. Johan Camargo, who actually ended up taking over the Braves shortstop job last year from the incredibly terrible Dansby Swanson, started his rehab work. So he'll get rolling along. And then, Dan, I don't know if you took a shot on Matt Shoemaker this year. I know off and on you've kind of enjoyed the Angels pitching staff, but he is headed to the DL. So...
No, he was one of those guys that was a later waiver pick. You know, we talked shortly about this, and because you brought up the Braves, so I don't know if you had the moment in between now and the last 15 minutes, but I just wanted to put it out there for anyone who wasn't watching, who hasn't checked your updates or visited MLB.com. I found it pretty comical when I got on it today, and Bryce Harper came up to bat, and as he walked up, the Braves decided to play the Imperial March, you know, the Darth Vader song. So I got a big kick out of it. And, you know, to top it off, maybe it was a stroke of good luck for Pricey, but he launched, I believe it was a two-run homer, maybe three-run, I don't remember exactly, but he had a nice home run down there in the ATL. So, you know, I mean, he gained some good points last night in FanDuel, but Justin Smoke didn't, and fortunately, nobody scored the 300 points or more, so we all got another free roll. I don't know if you were in on that one, but Jay.
Yeah, I was. So, yeah, you know, what's humorous is Harper's been doing that, you know, the last couple of games. Did you see the highlight of the homer he hit at Cincinnati where the guy was chanting overrated at him, and then he went up there and just hit a bomb to center field? I thought that was kind of funny because you could clearly hear the guy. It was a really small crowd. And, you know, the weather, of course, sucked like a lot of it has. And, yeah, the guy just kept chanting overrated at him. And, yeah, he went up there and just crushed it. So it was like, yeah, maybe probably not overrated, but there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, if this happens the third time somewhere else, I mean, if you're the Nationals coach, who I keep forgetting who it is because I keep wanting to say Dusty, do you just start employing somebody to go out there? Finding ways to get into, you know, kind of be the antagonist for Bryce Harper and then hit the home run?
Yeah, but, you know, it's one of those weird things where, you know, I just kind of always wonder what they actually hear. You know, because, I mean, obviously, you know, this guy was sitting close enough to a field mic that they could pick it up. But, I, you know, like, did Harper hear him? I mean, I would be a little surprised if he actually did. I just think it was kind of coincidental, you know, that the field mic picked it up and then, he happened to just hit this gigantic bomb. But, yeah, you know, yesterday, obviously, he heard the music. So, yeah, you got to wonder if maybe... the way for the Nationals to kind of motivate that they, you know, maybe they start stationing the guy behind the dugout that just yells at him while he's in the batter's box the entire time or in the, you know, the on deck circle every time.
I don't know.
It might be. you know, might be worth their while to give it a shot. I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, they've done other things, but, you know, I wanted to ask you this because I've heard this, I think, 3 times or maybe it was 4 times today, depending on what the heck I was watching. And you as a, you know, sort of kind of Dodger guy, I'm going to throw it at you and let you give the answer. The question I've heard, Dan, is what is happening to Kenley Jansen?
It's Tom Thibodeau's fault.
You know, because obviously, I know, he had a terrible outing against the Diamondbacks. I don't know, are the numbers here? 3 runs. Looks like he got the first 2 outs. Then he gave up 3 runs. You know, just those. You know, like to me when they said it, I was like, well, you know, it's just one of these things that closers run into. It's early in the season. You know, I think even his answer was the fact that it's just one game.
Yeah.
You know, but of course, you know, it's going to be, you know, a gigantic thing because, you know, he's a Dodger and, you know, they're, you know, obviously the opposite center of the universe behind New York. But I don't know. Do these guys just panic when there's one mistake? You know, is it just an overreaction, you think, or did you see a problem?
I missed it, but I think it's a big overreaction. I mean, it's still first week of baseball, and yeah, he's got to get settled in his game. And you know, the Diamondbacks, it just seems like right now all hitters are. Well, the teams you don't expect them to be on, they're on. You know, Nick Ahmed drove in some big runs yesterday. You know, it's the guys you're not expecting. You know, for instance, was it opening day with Matt Davidson hitting, crushing 3 bombs? You know, where the teams you expect to be hitting, like the Dodgers, the Giants, the Cubs. You know, just because those are the 3 games I've really watched the most of three teams. You know, they haven't been on. I mean, in the first 2 games of the Giants-Dodgers series, you know, the Dodgers didn't score. And you would think, oh, they didn't score. They got demolished. No, they lost by a point, like, pretty much each day. And then Sunday they got their groove and, you know, scored 6 runs. But, you know, the hitting that I think you're expecting to be on right now hasn't taken off. Or, for that matter, hasn't launched. Where the guys you're not expecting to hit are launching the ball.
Yeah, you know, again, to me, I was just kind of like, yeah, you know, no big deal. Again, you know, it was one game. You know, I'm not going to panic about one relief outing from, you know, a guy who's been a legitimately talented closer. You know, it wasn't that big of a deal to me, but it seems like for some reason it's been a big question. I was like, oh, what do I have to ask Dan about? I didn't see the inning against the Diamondbacks that they're talking about, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I guess I missed it. But yeah, it apparently didn't go well.
No, it was still early when I was watching last night. So I tuned out around 10 something.
So yeah, I just thought it was, you know, kind of strange. And then for some reason, and I'm disappointed, I didn't look to see what the Twitter idiot who tweeted this out, but there was some goof talking about, and it could have been a woman, I don't know, I don't want to gender specify it, how they felt sorry for the Yankee fans who attended the game today because the weather was bad. And the first thing that popped into my head was, I guess this idiot hasn't watched the weather from any other games. Because I don't know if you saw what the Pirates and the Tigers have been playing in to open the season. And then even today in Detroit, again, the Pirates and the Royals, you know, the White Sox and the Royals ran into some bad weather. You know, it was just kind of like, moron, just because it's New York, you know, doesn't put them kind of above everybody else. Everybody's dealing with weather. So it was like just moron. It was like, here you go, typical kind of thing going on. Oh, good Lord, shut up. It's like, just please shut up. Just makes me goofy, Dan. So.
Well, you know, you gotta feel sorry for them, right? I mean, I didn't
have
really feel
to really
sorry for the 25 Dodgers or Tigers fans that were there today. I mean, they braved it.
You know, I mean, it's April. I mean, obviously, we would, you know, like to have much better weather for, you know, everybody to be playing in, but to just kind of, you know, to be incredibly stupid enough to just point out one game over all the other games that have been putting up with this, it was just like, really? You know, it's like, great, you feel sorry for these people. Well, they're there. You know, they decided to go. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel more sorry for the teams that, like when you turn on the Reds game and the Idaho Plate, all you see is a bunch of empty seats in the expensive ones.
You know, yeah, just one of those things where, you know, nobody, you know, and I'm sure those, you know, I'm sure a few of those tickets were probably sold. It was just probably people who decided they didn't want to go in the weather. You know, I mean, I feel, you know, worse for, you know, that than anything else. I mean, you know, it's like, damn, get out there and, you know, see the game. Let's get some decent weather going and, you know, some good baseball and all that other fun stuff. But, yeah, it's like, oh, well, I feel sorry for these people. They chose to go. you know, it's not, like, forced. You know, at least I don't think they were. Do they do that in New York still, where they force you to attend games?
I don't think unions are allowed to do that anymore. I mean, mafias. Oh, wait,
okay.
What's the difference to you? You know, the one thing I am a little surprised,
sure,
though, is, you know, and we, I think, you know, the old thing for wrestling, be it the indies or, you know, the good old WCW, was you pack them in and you make sure your camera shots have all the people. So that's one of the things I'm surprised that, you know, not so much Major League Baseball, but the individual teams haven't gone that route where, you know, instead of having spread out random people just everywhere, you know, I would definitely want to get people down behind home plate. You know, if those people didn't show up, just start pushing people into the camera views. I mean, obviously, it's going to throw things off when, you know, something is hit into a certain position. But, I mean, instead of, you know, why not reward the people sitting up in the grandstands who showed up to support the team, and, you know, maybe they only paid $15 for that cheapo ticket and got their free hot dog and their drink. But what the hell? Why not just push them down?
Yeah, it is, you know, an interesting idea, you know, especially behind home plate, because obviously that's the shot you get more than anything else. You know, and I'm surprised, you know, like when the Mickey Mouse Network televises a game, I'm really surprised that's not something they do. You know, I could understand maybe, you know, your local broadcast, you know, that might not be something they're interested, you know, they're local, it's not that big a deal. But, yeah, I would think the national one, you know, you're on national like that, I'm surprised they don't try to show it there. It looked, like you said, like it's full.
Oh, sweet. And good news, Big Jack. This is off-air stuff that we were talking about, production stuff. Found my Bluetooth. It was sitting in the car. Must have fell out of my bag this morning.
Oh, there you go. No. You know, Dan, I did actually want to point something out I saw yesterday that for some reason, I guess, maybe slipped the commentator's mind while they were covering this. I don't know, Dan, well, you know, I know you'll flip around and watch the highlights and stuff. Did you happen to see the Edwin Encarnacion inside the park home run?
Oh, no. What team is he on again? He's on the
The Indian now. He is a Cleveland Indian now. He hit a fly ball down the left field line that Justin Upton chased after, and it looked like he had a chance to catch it. It actually hit the yellow stripe painted onto the outfield wall that would, you know, equal the foul pole as it goes up. I think Upton was under the impression that it ended up going foul because he kind of stopped and looked around like he was waiting for a foul call. The ball kicked back towards left center field. Now, as you know, Upton plays left field for the now Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Dan, do you know by any chance who was playing center field for them last night?
Well, Austin Jackson plays for the Giants, and Alex Avila doesn't play for them. He plays for a team that I was watching earlier today. Would that happen to be the war leader, Mike Trout?
Yeah, who was nowhere close to backing up his teammate. Upton, once he finally got situated, had to turn around and go get this ball. In case you don't know much about Encarnacion, he's not exactly the fastest guy in the major leagues.
Nor the youngest.
So the ball, right, the ball just kind of sat there in left center, not so much left center field, but it was a field. Upton finally, when he realized what was going on, took off to go get it. He got to the ball before Trout was even within 10 or 15 feet of it. And I found it quite interesting that somehow, Dan, nobody really noticed this, that, you know, they talk about what a great defender he is, but, you know, when one of his boys needed him, he was nowhere to be found. Isn't that one of the things you're taught? I mean, I remember being taught that in Little League. Don't you?
Well, and that's the center fielder's job. It's the whole reason you're the leader of the outfield. You're the guy who throws the shit out. You're the guy who's in control out there.
It was incredibly humorous to me. I was just kind of like, okay, because that was the first thing I thought when Upton missed it. I said, oh, was it foul? And then they showed the replay, and sure enough, I mean, it hits dead center of that line, maybe about a foot from the top of the wall. I mean, it was really close to just being a home run. Well, I guess technically it still was a home run, but going out of the park. And the ball kicks off, and you can tell Upton is just lost. I mean, he's not the greatest defensive outfielder anyways. You can tell he's just a little askew on what is going on and where the ball is and all that stuff. And he finally turns around and locates it, and it's just sitting there in left field. And, yeah, he no help whatsoever from his teammate.
I'll have to look for that one. But, I mean, at the point where he was it even worth going after? You just might as well leave it?
Yeah, it still actually was because, again, it was Encarnacion running. If it would have been, pretty much, anybody else except for maybe Bartolo Colon, you would have probably just let it go. I mean, Billy Hamilton probably would have scored by the time they got around to finding the baseball. But it was still, I believe he did end up scoring standing up, but the ball at least was back in the infield by the time he scored. And I just found it completely odd that, it's like, okay, well, we're only going to talk about the good stuff. Let's make sure we don't point out the bad. But yet if somebody else does something, they have zero problem jumping all over it and saying, well, he should have done this and he should have done that. And, it's almost kind of like they're contracted not to say negative stuff.
Most likely. I mean, you brought up the good defender portion of him. And, I think sadly being with the Angels and, with all the hype he gets, we really don't get a whole lot of games, national televised games of the Angels that I can think of. But when you do see the highlights of his great defense, it's always balls that are hit to him or in the general vicinity. It's never something, something Jason Hayward-esque. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I've
Jason
seen him,
Hayward
rob a You know, I've seen him rob a couple home runs, you know, make those catches.
Yeah, but those are in the general vicinity of the position he plays. You know, Jason Hayward practically makes catches in left field, left center from right field, you know?
Well, that's because Kyle Schwarber's over there and you just don't know when he's going to spike himself. So.
Speaking of, you know, one of the guys I like, obviously we've talked about him before, Matt Kemp back with the Dodgers. And, you know, we discussed the Dodgers and how are they going to get all 700 of their outfielders playing time. Matt Kemp almost took out his playing time last night. I don't know if you caught that at all. He made a nice sliding, I would say sliding because he didn't dive, catch into that left field he's playing, and almost took himself out. He limped. He didn't come off the field. So, but, you know, I think it's one of those things where when you watch a guy like him who kind of was at the top of his game slightly, you know, once he got that contract, got traded to Atlanta, or no, San Diego, you know, heads to Atlanta, then comes back to L.A., kind of being the old guy that maybe not everyone has their eyes on, except for in our fantasy league because we have 20 teams. You know, to see that he still has that hustle and that drive to continue to throw his body out there, I thought was pretty cool. You know, and a kind of a great play by him. I don't know if he's going to, you know, be up there in MVP talks again like he was. He did win one, right?
No, he lost to Ryan Braun.
Yeah, that's right. He should have won. So, you know, I don't know. It was just one of those things I wanted to throw out there real quick before I take my two-minute break.
Yeah, well, you know, the scary thing, anytime you got a guy like Matt Kemp when he makes a play like that is, did he get hurt? You know, that's always, a frightening thing in that situation. But he did look okay. So, you know, that's a big plus. But yeah, it was a great catch, and you know, people may not remember that Matt Kemp actually has won a Gold Glove. So you know, it's not like he's a terrible defender or anything like that. It's just kind of I think the injuries have just kind of taken a toll on him after all the years, and you know the Dodgers did lighten up their outfield a little bit. You know, they put Trace Thompson on waivers, and they ended up dealing him to the Yankees. Now, you know, the Yankees have had a share of outfield injuries this year. I mean, just to get started, Jacoby Ellsbury, like I mentioned, had a setback in his rehab. They started the year off with Aaron Hicks, who got hurt. They called up Billy McKinney, former Cub prospect. He played one game and got hurt. I don't know. I think they called up. They ended up calling up Miguel Andujar, who's a third baseman. So that didn't really help their, their outfield situation any. So I don't know if they ended up claiming Thompson on waivers or if they worked out a deal. I'm going to see if I can hunt down the transaction really quick here. But, you know, Thompson, you know, he has some major league experience. You know, he was with the White Sox for a while, before being dealt over to the Dodgers. So, you know, hopefully he'll get a little chance to play. I would be shocked if it's, you know, anything permanent. I know the Yankees were really big on giving Aaron Hicks a chance to play every day with Ellsbury hurt. So we'll see. You know, there are days I just have the worst luck with this kind of stuff. So my internet would not allow me to retrieve the data. So let me try something else to see if I can figure out, how they acquired Trace Thompson. But yes, in case you're wondering, and you don't know this because I'm sure everybody has talked about it, he is actually the brother of Clay Thompson, the Golden State Warrior guard. So, just one of those things that go on in baseball. You know, a family with a lot of talent. So, you know, two of them then end up being professional athletes. So take that. All right, we'll try our. We'll try something else here and see if this transaction section will give me what I need to know here. Where are they? Boy, you know, I just makes me makes me goofy when I can't find what I'm looking for here. I know the Dodgers made a trade. I know that. I know this is incredibly exciting, isn't it, when we look for this kind of stuff. Placed Billy McKinney on the DL, recalled Miguel Andujar. Okay, I knew that one. Where is the next one?
Didn't you just go to Baseball Reference and look up Trace Thompson?
I could have, Dan, and I thought it would just be so much easier to pull up transactions on MLB.com. And, that would have made my life so much easier. But, of course, it would not, it could not retrieve my data. So I thought, well, I'll just go to the Mickey Mouse site. Because, they'll have it, It's a Dodge guy. They'll be all over that. It won't be a problem at all. And they don't have it listed. But, yeah, I'm on my third option now. I'm headed to Baseball Reference. And we shall see if this is updated. Yeah,
were available for today's games. Yeah, the mothership would have been a great website to go to.
I've got to learn my lesson here, and I'll see. And believe it or not, Dan, they actually don't have them listed either, which is quite surprising. So there's another option. Our favorite site, the good old MLB Trade Room, keep up with stuff like this. So we shall see if that will help me out.
Is it an official transaction yet, or is it something that's happening?
I read it today, and it was something I thought that happened after we got off the air last night. That it had went through because it came up with the Yovani Tomas stuff about him being outrighted to the minors after he made it through waivers because nobody wanted to grab that deal. So, I for some reason am just having a heck of a time trying to find it, but here we go. They have claimed Trace Thompson off waivers. So they didn't actually give anything up for him, the Yankees. So, and oddly, like, the Mickey Mouse website had the transaction they made to make room for Thompson because they had to get somebody off their 40-man roster. So they put a pitcher by the name of Ben Heller on the 60-day DL to make room for Thompson. And they had that move, but for some reason they didn't have the Thompson move. But he's been claimed by the Yankees. It doesn't say as of right now what they've done with him. I don't know if he's going to go to AAA for a little bit or if he's coming right to the majors. He's a big filler there. Aaron Hicks, Jacoby Ellsbury, Billy McKinney, all on the DL, and I forgot Clint Frazier, who's still suffering from concussion symptoms. He's still on the DL as well. The Yankees have four outfielders on the DL already to start the season. But yeah, Thompson just no room for him in that Dodger outfield. He played just 27 games last year at the major league level. Spent most of his time in AAA, it just one of those situations just wasn't right. The sad part is now he's going to go to the Yankees and he may get a chance to play right away, but then these guys are going to come back and he's probably going to get designated again. So he may be switching teams one more time. So we'll have to see how that kind of works out for him. I mentioned, Dan, while I was kind of chasing all that stuff around, that the Diamondbacks designated Yasmani Tomas. He's owned quite a chunk of change here, Dan. I'm not surprised nobody picked him up. He's owed $13.5 million this year. Then it jumps to $15.5 million next year, And in 2020, he's owed $17 million. You know, again, another situation where I just don't know. Maybe they didn't think there was room for him. You know, I thought he had been pretty solid. I know, you know, he had some injuries last year, only played 47 games. But, you know, in 2016, when he played 140 games, he did hit .272 with 31 homers and 83 RBIs. I don't know if the injury took something out of him, or maybe they just didn't have a defensive spot for him. I don't know. What do you think kind of blew up there to where
he's the former Diamondback, correct? Or is that the Angel?
He still is a Diamondback. He's just in AAA now, making a whole boatload of money. Kind of like Puig with the Dodgers, you know, made all that money to go play in AAA. You know, this guy's making $13.5 million a year to play at Reno.
I mean, it's kind of an ego kick in the, you know what, but, I mean, at least you're still getting paid, at least you're still playing ball, so you can only improve. But I think part of it is because he was a third base right fielder, and you know, the Diamondbacks offense is pretty locked in, or, you know, defense, offense, whatever you want to say. But the outfield, I guess, is where I was going with it. They've pretty much secured that. And then with Jake Lamb holding down third base and everyone seemingly healthy, I think that could be part of the position, you know, the reasoning behind him getting dropped. But, you know, I think it's still a young organization through, you know, the top, the office to the field, and I don't think they still really know what they're doing, but they got Zach Greinke.
Yeah. So yeah, it looks like here. Let me see if I can see if this is an actual quote. It doesn't look like it's a quote, but they're hinting at here that poor defense and lack of speed, or as they put it, the principal catalyst for sending Tomas to the minors. So
yeah, and I mean, his defense wasn't stellar, and I think that's why he doubled up to play in right field as opposed to, you know, being more of a mainstay at third base. But
yeah. Oddly, looking at his fielding stats from last year, Dan, he played 42 games and left and didn't make an error. So, you know, of course, that doesn't attribute to the fact that, you know, balls he didn't get to that he probably should have caught. You know, obviously, he's owed a big-time chunk of change. Do you think there's an possible American League team that could take a look at him? I mean, you know, former 30-homer guy could plug in as a DH for, you know, almost three full seasons. You know, I mean, you know, could play the outfield occasionally. He spent a little time at first base. So, you know, I mean, there's always, you know, you could plug him in here, you know, not on a regular basis, but, you know, occasionally, you know, run him out there and, you know, let him throw the glove on. You know, is he somebody worth a shot if the Diamondbacks are willing to pick up enough of that money?
Well, number one, if Kenny Williams was still making all the moves, he would so be a White Sox right now.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, it's not a, you know, it's not my, I'm a Cubs fan knock at the White Sox. It's a knock at Kenny Williams and what he does. He would have totally been a White Sox. But I think we're going to find someone who needs a guy like him. And I think all he has to do is just work on his defense down there and, you know, maybe not focus too much on his launch angle.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like I said, I just found it kind of weird that, you know, I mean, I can understand a team not wanting to pick up that money. But, yeah, I mean, he just, again, you know, he kind of seems like, you know, you're looking at a guy who could be a natural fit in a, you know, in a designated hitter position.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think part of it, too, is he just needs to, you know, like I said, he's still getting paid. You're still getting paid to play ball. So he's got to take the opportunity down in AAA. I'm assuming he has to be starting every day. You know, I believe their season starts up in the next couple of days if it hasn't. But you know, he needs to just take advantage of being able to play every day and just, you know, honing the craft a little bit more, so that, and when someone gets injured on the Diamondbacks, because you know, knock on wood for them or whatever, but they don't seem to have like a injury prone guy. It just seems to be the entire team collectively is injury prone. So, you know, you've got to wonder too, if that says something about the field they're playing on. But, you know, like I said, he just needs to work on his craft and get his stuff together, you know, a little bit more so his defense, so that if he does get moved to an American League team, like you mentioned, you know, he can substitute in there. But I think it's still early right now for any team to be really looking to make moves like that. You know, in one of our fantasy leagues, I've seen someone made a trade. I don't know if it was our league or just one of the three teams that I was actually a part of, the three leagues. But I thought that was funny, because I'm like, wow, that's a little early to be making those moves, unless you're, you know, you really wanted a guy. And like I did with Mr. Fantasy, he picked Zach Greinke because he knew I wanted him. So I took Joey Votto and was able to make the trade that night or the next morning. I forgot what it was, but, you know, in a situation like that, it was slightly different because he took a guy I wanted, so I took a guy he wanted. But it's always going to go down in history, isn't it, Big Jack?
So, yeah, they've already made multiple trades in our money league. You know, they're mm-hmm. they're, for some reason, I don't understand. You know, I mean, guys draft teams and then they immediately start trading guys. And it's like, okay, I guess whatever works for you. You know, I kind of draft my team to set it up to play. I don't really draft an extra guy so I can go, okay, cool, I can trade this guy now. You know, it's not really how it works. I mean, I'm more interested. We have this goofy rule where, you know, if a guy starts opening day at a position, you get him at that position. So I'm waiting for them to add all our new positions, because I have three guys sitting on our bench that open the season at different positions than what they were assigned. So they, you know how I am with the multiple position players, but I need them to be assigned so I can start working them in and out of our lineup. Cause you know, it's kind of like a little help here, but we shall see. I text Mr. Fantasy and I have not heard a return. So that may be a topic on Sunday's podcast if he can make it this week. So,
Well, you know, and you know, you mentioned you pick a team to play, and I as well, but I also pick a couple guys that I feel like I'm hoping, and I do this more with offense because I'm usually not looking to get rid of pitchers. I'm usually looking to gain pitchers, because isn't that the rule? Pitching always wins when it comes to the playoffs. But yeah. You know, you can never have enough pitching. That's why I've already made moves. But you know, first day of the season went on and I had Mark Melancon and Carlos Rodon immediately go to the DL, and obviously Justin Turner, but I knew that was going to happen. So I was able to pick up Doug Fister, which I thought was interesting that he's still sitting out there, but you know, his Yahoo rank was like 1,100. So then I was like, oh, okay. But you know, I do have a few guys that I'm kind of sitting there going, well, I hope they do well, so maybe I could turn them around. But, you know, and that's because I'm a little log jammed at my position. But then again, it's not something I'm looking to do this early. But, you know, unless I could trade a guy like Joe Panik and get, you know, a guy like Clayton Kershaw. I don't know if anyone would make a deal like that. But you know what I mean by that. But it seems like from the way you describe your money league, is there's a lot of guys who manage their teams as the grass is always greener.
Yeah, you know what's weird is that, yeah, that's a good description. And, you know, what always gets us is, like, what I'll deal with is Mr. Fantasy gets caught up in this. And he'll get to the point, and you know this is coming, he will get to the point where we have to make a trade. It won't matter what place we're in. It won't matter how the team is doing. But we will have to make a trade just because. So, you know, and it's just kind of like, okay, great, here we go. We got to try to find an equal trade now. And, it, you know, it's difficult to do in that league. You know, I mean, like every league, everybody wants to rip you off. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's just kinda like, you know, it's kind of like, come on, you know, we need something of a little bit of equal value, but it just gets in his head that we, you know, we have to do this. So we end up making a trade that maybe isn't always beneficial for us just because we, you know, I have to get it out of the way so we can kind of go on with our lives.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, I want to make the trades because I want to get my medals, but I also, you know, I've got three teams, so, and it counts for all three leagues. You make five over the three, so I need to make, you know, basically two in each league. But I also try to throw out trades out there just to get something going, because we do have experienced guys, and I think with the leagues, both of, especially the baseball, we've really got guys who know what the hell they're doing, and for the most part with the baseball, I don't get those lopsided trade offers anymore. You know, I actually, there's times where I actually get a trade offer where I'm like, whoa, I didn't even ask for that, and I'm getting something better than what I thought was going to happen. But, you know, they're still even on both sides, which I thought was pretty cool because that did happen last year. I actually turned Justin Turner into, was it Robbie Ray and another Alex Bregman, you know, who actually – kind of boosted me up again and put me into the playoff picture. Not to knock Mr. Fantasy so much, and maybe this is something you could throw up to him at Sunday. You know, he's been getting a little sour the last couple of years when it came to fantasy baseball, because me being maybe the less experienced of the group, I've been beating him out for the last several, you know, last few years. And obviously, when it comes to football, you guys both know, I just kind of throw it out there and see what sticks, and hopefully I can make it to the playoffs. If I can get into the 10th spot, I'm pretty happy. But I'll never be a football owner. But, you know, I guess my little punch to the gut for him is he, like, having – since he kind of bailed out on our fantasy leagues, but he still does the money league, do you think he would do as well – if you had your own team in that league?
I would not.
Conversation.
Because of their rule, the way they do things, I would not do as well. You know, just, you know, it's weird because, like, they'll send me the rules, and I don't know if maybe I interpret them wrong or, you know, how it works out. You know, maybe if I was focused on it and it was the only league I was in, I would do better. But I, you know, I seem to spend a little more time just kind of focusing on our Yahoo league, or leagues, I should say. I don't know why that is. It's just one of those, you know, one of those situations.
I've gotten so used to the layout and the way things go with the Yahoo, it's just so easy. When I go and look at the ESPN league, it's not that I don't like it, but I look at it and I'm like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do? Because there's 8,000 positions to play. I only have three bench players, so I don't really even have to take anybody out. I don't really have to do anything. So it just, that one, you know, actually already kind of bores me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it's,
you know, that's
cool to be,
you know,
in.
My, the only thing I have to do there is I have one. Put him in when it starts. So, you know, and if I don't get an injury, I'm all set.
Yeah.
So, all right, here's a good time for the night to take off. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. You know, while we're gone, radio.com. Look for that new blog going up there tomorrow morning. Follow that link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sportstime Radio. You can stalk Dan and I on Twitter if you'd like. We don't have a problem with that. As always, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
Sportstime Radio, guys.